everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Katya Damborski, and here with me to discuss all the latest super yacht shenanigans is Georgia Boscawen.
Pleasure to be back again. This is actually the first time we've done this together. Finally!
Finally indeed, a long time coming.
Well, it feels great, and it's very nice to see you also, because we've both been out and about this last week. Where have you been?
So I've just come back from a TEDx event in Forsham Army, which was a lot of fun. So it was hosted on the beach, the setting was beautiful, they organised this wonderful gala dinner on the first night, and there was live entertainment. So there were two singers, and they were singing, like, you know, feel good, like crowd pleasers nice. Throughout the night. And then at the end of the night, they moved on to the, like, classic Italian bangers, like, you know, the ones like Europop, 60s wedding style tunes. And it went from being like very civilized and elegant to everyone up dancing on the tables, you know, all the Italians boogieing away. So it was great.
God, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was. But quite apart from that, the event was brilliant in itself. It was really educational, really inspiring. They had some very good speakers.
Very nice. And did I hear you saying something about riding a bike from Fort de Marmi to Via Reggio?
I did do that, yes.
Weirdo.
It was a really great way to spend a Sunday, although it was sensationally hot and I was absolutely sweating, like dripping in sweat, which must have been absolutely lovely to whoever sat next to me on the plane later that day. So sorry to that person. Yeah, it was great. I hear you also had quite an interesting weekend. So you were at the America's Cup,
I hear. I was indeed. And it was just the most exciting thing that I honestly think I've done in a long time. I just generally think it's the most exciting sporting event there is at the moment. I went with Cecil Wright, and who are actually out in Barcelona as their official supplier for the 37th America's Cup. It's quite cool, actually, because Cecil Wright, who are the yacht broker we know extremely well, has done a huge amount for Ineos Britannia and the team. But this year it's been officially recognised, which is really great. So they're out there running the chase boats and arranging charters with sensational access to the event. And it's an incredible way to see it when you're there and you're kind of in amongst all the action. It's extraordinary. I actually went to the round robins, which is essentially the first of the point scoring races. And that determines the challenger to the defending team, which are the current holders of the America's Cup.
Okay, so could you do a little bit of an explainer as to what the America's Cup actually is?
Yeah.
I don't feel super confident that I know, so tell me, take it away.
So, like a basic guide to the America's Cup. Okay, so what I will say is, once you understand what's actually going on, it's unbelievably exciting. It's essentially short, snappy, and extremely aggressive one-on-one racing. It's got similar energy to Formula One, so it's a lot on the design and engineering and tactics, and all the teams are kind of deploying incredible design tactics, so they're a massive, really interesting engineering element to the whole race as well, in the same way that Formula One does. So the America's Cup is the oldest trophy in international sport, with the first race taking place in 1851. This was actually around the Isle of Wight in the south of England, but back then it was called the Auld Mag. But the winning yacht, called America, saw a name change to the America's Cup. And since that point, that's what we've known it as. Interestingly, in its 174-year history, the Cup has only been won by teams from the United States, Switzerland, and New Zealand. The New York Yacht Club has held the trophy for 132 years, but this year, we're feeling hopeful in the UK with the Ineos Britannia team, led by Sir Ben Ainslie, who I managed to have a chat with when I was there, which was amazing because we did a post-race debrief. And I'll be writing that up this week, so do stay tuned for that. To give you an idea of the format for the racing, it's essentially a head-to-head match race where two yachts raced against each other in the course. This year, it's just off the beach in Barcelona, and all the teams, quite like Formula One, are positioned around Port Vell in a kind of pit-like arrangement. It's a really cool spectacle, actually, if you're just cruising back into the port. The regatta calendar then runs from August to October and is split into four different segments for the Cup: the preliminary regatta, the round robin, the semi-final, and then the final, where the current holder of the Cup is challenged by the winner of the regattas. This is what we're in at the moment, and there are five challenging teams from the UK, France, Switzerland, Italy, and America. The final for this year, which takes place from the 26th of September to the 7th of October, which is the Louis Vuitton 37th America's Cup, is the first team to win 7 races, and it'll be between the defender, which is the Emirates team New Zealand, and the final challenger, so whoever wins these lead-up races.
Wow, okay. That feels less like a basic guide and more like an in-depth guide.
really went in there. But
no, but I love it.
It's really exciting. Once you actually get... So before, I mean, admittedly, before I actually went out to Barcelona, my knowledge was there, but it wasn't as robust as this, and obviously did a lot of research around it. And it's so... Because I think the length of the races are quite short and snappy, and it's all about kind of, you know, who's going to cross the line first, and it's quite vicious, you know, people are stealing wind and driving people out of the course. So it's a really cool thing to watch. Yeah.
So you explained a bit about the format, but can you just tell me a little bit more about the... kind of the tactics, I guess.
Yeah. So gaining an upper hand in the race is obviously essential, and there are a lot of ways to do that. The race really begins before the official start, if that makes sense. So two yachts will enter the course about 3 minutes before the race start, and there'll be a countdown to when they can actually cross the start line. This is a crucial part of the race, as the aim is to be up and foiling at full speed at the exact moment the countdown clock hits zero, which is obviously very difficult to do because, you know, to time it right. And it is incredible to watch, if you've seen any clips of the crossing of the line, they are really getting that point on zero. And most teams do it exactly right. There are a few kind of penalties that have been awarded, I think, in these round robins, but it is really incredible to see. But it's incredibly technical too. So Ineos Britannia, like all the other teams, will have even a meteorologist who will brief the teams on exactly what to expect for each race day. Break a rule, however, and the opponent will protest. Leave the circuit and you'll get a penalty. And it's vicious, as I said before, it's really vicious. And teams will use right-of-way rules and tactics to push their opponents off track. As of now, so as the time of recording, which is Wednesday the 4th of September, topping the leaderboard is Luna Rossa Prada Pirelli team, which is Italy, who have 5 wins and 1 loss, and Ineos Britannia, which is the UK, have 4 wins and 1 loss. So it's all very exciting. But on the super yacht side, there's another regatta running alongside the America's Cup at the moment. Am I right?
Yes, there is indeed. So it is the Barcelona Super Yacht Regatta, which actually takes place from the 4th to the 6th of October. And we, Bo International, are the media partner to this event. So we're really excited to be covering it and following it closely. It is organised by the Real Club Nautic de Barcelona and BWA Yachting. And it's a legendary race affiliated and sanctioned by Super Yacht Racing Association. So very prestigious, very well organised. It's obviously set against the backdrop of Barcelona, and it should feature a really good lineup of yachts. Obviously, it's kind of the wind down of the Mediterranean season, but the regatta season is still kind of in full swing. So we've got some impressive yachts already registered. That includes the 39-metre Halakai, 36-metre Gitana, 44-metre Essence, 28-metre Nefertiti, 29-metre Patea and 25-metre Dark Horse. So some regular contenders on the regatta circuit in that mix, I think.
Yeah.
And
also quite cool to see those, the classic beautiful sailing arts against the kind of ultra-modern...
Foiling.
Yeah, exactly. What a cool sight that is.
Yeah. So the deadline for entries closes on 15th September, so we should still get some good boats in the mix. So we'll put the article in the show notes so you can have a look at that and find out more about what that entails. But it should be really great fun. I mean, I'm excited
really beautiful.
For this. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So what else have you got coming up, Katia? Because I know that we're edging into that time of year.
Oh my God, we're edging into that time. I feel like the time of year is upon us now. So as soon as the calendar struck September, I kind of woke up in panic mode. So the first thing for me is actually the Fretty Group private preview. Now, regular listeners of the podcast will know that I've been wanting to go to this for many years, and I finally managed to bully my way into getting an invite last week.
And you don't want to stand in the way of that.
No, exactly. So I'm delighted. So you know what the private preview is, right?
No, tell us about
it. Oh, stop it.
Go on.
So it's the Fretty Group private event before boat show season, where they invite their clients to see their fleet in a private setting, exclusive setting. So at the Yacht Club de Monaco, you can tour their boats, have sea trials. But the whole point of it is actually they've got an amazing concert every year. So
do you know what the lineup is?
It's Robbie Williams.
No! I thought that. I wonder why you were singing that earlier this morning. Oh, no. Forget Oasis.
She asks me protection.
Let's not do that on this.
That's going to be me on Saturday night, guys.
Oh, my Fresh God, I'm group. So jealous.
I'm coming. I'm so excited.
My favourite song's Moving to LA.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I'll put in a special request for you.
Please do. Yeah. And record it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing first. And then it's obviously onward to Cannes. And if you haven't already heard on this podcast, you can find the boat team at Jetty 116. I think that's the same place we are every year. So do come by, pick up a copy of the magazine, have a coffee. You can chat to us.
About Robbie Williams.
I'll do another rendition of Angels for those who want to hear it. And we particularly like hearing from our podcast listeners because it gives us a feeling of fame. Yeah. So if you like the podcast, stop by, tell us who you like on the podcast, as long as it's me. And if you can tell my boss, Stuart, that would be handy.
Yeah, and me too, please. So are you going to make it to all of the shows this year?
I think so. I normally do
That's intense, isn't
it? Yeah, I've done it the last 2 years and it's a lot. So it's Cannes, Genoa, Monaco, and then a bit of a break, and then Fort Lauderdale. But that run between Cannes, Genoa and Monaco is like...
It's intense. Which is your favourite? Actually, you're probably not allowed to say that. Go on, which is your favourite? Which is your favourite?
I like them all. I'm a diplomatic woman, yeah. And I like them all for different reasons. They're all such different shows.
Yeah.
They all are genuinely completely different. That's why I feel like people are always, oh, I don't need to go to this one because I've already done this one. Like, yes, you do need to go to them all because actually they're completely different in terms of what they can offer you. And
very true.
Big fan very of them true. All.
I find that on the charter circuit as well.
Oh, yeah. Although, of course.
Yeah, they are, so I think, slightly less intense.
Yeah, a bit more like... Getting drinks on board.
No, hard work. Finding stories.
Judging the chef's competition.
Yes, very harshly, I should add.
Sure.
Okay. So, should we do some brokerage picks?
Yes, let's do it. Why don't you take it away first?
So, when I was looking at this, I normally take the route of doing the classics. But when I saw that the 55-metre Amos motor yacht Amigos was for sale, that is... what I'm going to have to go with. Delivered by Dutch shipyard Amos in 2017, Amigos is one of the latest vessels in the popular Amos Limited Edition 180 series. Now the Amos Limited Editions 180 series was massively popular. Am I right?
You are, yeah. Those limited editions have done really well. So good resale value if you did want to pick this up.
So while I do like a classic, I think I'm going to be doing bloody well on the charter market with Mi Amigos. It's listed for sale with Antonio and Hans of Edmiston for €34.5 million. Now, I must say, interior-wise, that she's very cool, modern and sexy, but it's black lacquer and the white look, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And it's not massively my personal taste, but it's not in your face, so I still think that it's a great choice. And even though it wouldn't be my taste, I would still... think that it was a very good
it's a bit
purchasing
of
decision.
Blank canvas.
It's a blank canvas, yeah. And it's like the furniture is a lot of it's freestanding. You can kind of, you know, change soft furnishes and stuff. I think it's a brilliant choice. And she's also lying in the Bahamas, so that's quite a nice excuse for getting out there, I would say. Cheeky little holiday, buy a yacht, come back on the yacht.
I think that's an absolutely top choice. And I have to say that I've also got an Edmiston pick. Also with Hans, I think.
Oh, Hans. So you're in for a winner.
Literally. So, Edmiston, if you want to sponsor the podcast, please step up. So, mine is a classic, and it was a classic Fed ship as well, so I couldn't pass this up. I felt like if Stuart was doing this podcast, he wouldn't be able to let this one go. So, it's a classic 33-metre motor yacht called Santa Maria. Also a bit Spanish-y.
Or Italian. Oh, it's Spanish. European.
Santa Maria. Okay, yep, great. So she is a 32.9 metre. She's listed for sale with Hans van Doornmalen of Edmiston, and she just had a price drop. So it's a 1.455 million price drop, and she's now asking 4.495.
That's very good, actually. You've got a lot more cash to spare after your purchase.
Have you heard about me and the budget boats on this podcast? I always choose. Love a Bargs. I love a budget boat, and I'm thinking of setting up. I've told the podcast listeners this so many times, but Catty's Cut Price Cruisers.
Oh, that's quite good. I know. You've really thought about that.
I have. I just love a classic, and I love how well priced they are. And they've got so much history. So this one was originally built for Henry Ford II in the 1960s and was at the time the most expensive Fed ship. So she's part of the exclusive Fed ship heritage fleet now, as you might expect. And she was most recently refitted in 2023 with large areas of her hull plating replaced. You can tell she's been really well kept. So she has this very classic interior with a canoe stern, quite a... I don't want to say a boxy superstructure, but, you know, like a very classic looking exterior. But then the interior is incredibly modern, but very well executed modern. Like, it's not, again, in your face. It's not
very cozy. Yeah.
Yeah. Cozy. Yeah. Cozy contemporary. Like, that's that. She looks like a new boat, I think. Yeah. But she doesn't look of her time.
In one of the cabins, there's zebra on the wall.
I thought that too. But is it actually zebra? Is it not just texture?
I mean, it's cool. It's funky, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's definitely got a bit of a quirky angle to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, very nice.
So let us know, listeners, would you go for my Santa Maria for less than 5 mil?
Yeah, or come to the Bahamas with me.
For, you haven't listed, oh yeah, 34.5 million.
I've got loads of cash, I can't deny it.
Okay, great. Onwards to the news section. So the big news this week, it was actually what I was trying to enjoy my little holiday, and then the WhatsApp group chat was popping off. But did you see that 90-metre Lursen crashing into a new marine?
Oh my God, don't.
I know, it's insane, wasn't it? Unbelievable stuff. So we did actually do a podcast episode a couple of weeks ago about the suspected rise in superyacht accidents, and the data did indeed show that there have been more casualties this year, but it's also heightened by the fact that disasters are splashed all over social media within seconds, which was so the case with this boat, because I don't know if you, did you go on Instagram and every single video was this crash.
And it was like that with the Venus situation as well. You just, before anyone knows what's actually happened, people are sort of really quick to jump onto it. But it does mean that we don't really miss anything.
Yeah, well, it's impossible to have a yachting accident in this day and age without someone filming it.
Whipping out a phone.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we don't really know that much about what happened yet, but we know that the boat involved was the Lursen Superyacht Ice, and the other boat was a new marine called A. May. The extent of the damage is unknown, but A. May's aft section appears to be badly damaged, and the yacht was anchored when this collision took place. So yes, absolutely wild scenes out of Turkey.
Yeah, and for me, wild scenes coming to Monaco with my next news piece. And that will be Rossi Navi is going to bring their 43-metre Seawolf X to the Monaco Yacht Show in a few weeks' time. It'll be premiering its most, in their words, innovative project to date. The 42.8-metre hybrid electric catamaran was delivered in August 2024 and is now cruising the Saronic Islands in Greece, according to BoatPro. This is Rossi Navi's first multi-hull project, and a hugely exciting one at that. A key characteristic of the model is her three performance scenarios, which sounds pretty funky. On one-day trips, Seawolf X can cruise in full electric mode for 100% of the time. On multi-day trips, she can cruise for 90%. And on transatlantic trips, she can still cruise in electric mode for 80% of the time. So when the catamaran is moored, a hibernation mode activates for reduced consumption, even more of reduced consumption, with the energy generated able to be given back to the quay or to a private property. She can recharge at the shore in about 5 hours and supplies enough energy to charge up an entire villa. So it's a super, super green, incredible project. And the exterior is also, it kind of reflects that very well. So it's low profile and reminiscent of a sports car. And Volvo de Simone seek to liberate their minds from preconceptions around catamaran design. The team also integrated solar panels into Seawolf X and addressed hull efficiency by developing lightweight solutions, including an anchor installation that meets weight standards while enhancing aesthetics. It's a very cool boat, and it will be chartered too with Cecil Wright.
Exactly. Another shout out to Cecil Wright in this podcast. Yeah. So I think they're actually hosting an event on the boat during the Monaco Yacht Show, so I'm really keen to come on board and
it's
have a
really
look around.
It's really cool to look
it's
at.
In, it's in, insanely cool. Like, it's very different. I mean, what you've said here is Fulvio de Simone said that he wanted to liberate the minds from preconceptions. That is so true. Like, this boat does not really look like a catamaran. It looks like some kind of, like,
spaceship.
Yeah. It looks like a spider somehow. Yeah. I don't know why.
And it's got a really funky, the kind of forward section of the boat. So it's kind of really beautiful, sweeping. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm really keen to see these green claims in action, though. For everyone will be a real turning point if they can pull off what they say they can.
And, like, really smart onboard systems for guests, I think, is really interesting. Like, when you have smart, especially on the charter market, when you have smart systems that don't reach the guests, that's one thing. But these are actually, like, fully in the guests' hands, which I think is really interesting. So, I'm jealous of that. That would be a great one in Monaco.
So the final news story comes from the business world, and it's about Ferretti Group. Obviously, we mentioned them earlier with regards to their private preview. But this is the departure of Stefano De Vivo, who is Ferretti Group's chief commercial officer and also the managing director of the Wally yacht brand. So De Vivo has been with the company for more than a decade, and he is leaving to assume the role of chief executive officer at his family office. That will be from the 1st of November later this year. He is expected to maintain ties with the company as a technical consultant for the development of Wally Sail. This is a really big story. I mean, he's been the face of Wally for a long time. As long as I've been in the industry, he's been a part of a Ferretti Group, and he's done a lot for Wally over the years.
Yeah.
I think I read something that under him, the Wally turnover was absolutely exceptional, and I'm glad to see that he's still going to be involved in Wally Sail, because, you know, they're producing this whole new line of Wally Wind boats. I feel like having someone in the company who's got a lot of experience, got a lot of sailing knowledge, knows the Wally brand inside and out, is going to be really crucial for their development. Yeah. So, interesting news.
Also, I find that Wally especially is so visible outside of the industry as well.
Yes.
So we always know what's going on inside of the industry, but loads of people are interested in Wally because they're so different.
Yeah, avant-garde, very niche.
So, yeah, that would be very interesting.
I'll just read out the quote from Mr. Galassi, CEO of Ferretti Group. Stefano, thanks to his professionalism, dedication and expertise, contributed to the achievement of the important goals that the company has reached in recent years, said Galassi. On behalf of everyone at Ferretti, I thank him for his efforts, particularly in product development and sales, which have left our group in excellent shape with a bright future ahead.
So we actually have one last story, even though Katie already said it. We have one more. We have the 71-meter Lersen Superyacht Scat, which is very famous, has arrived at Ocean Co for an extensive refit. Work will include several major aesthetic improvements to both the interior and exterior, and this includes the installation of 35 new windows, adding to the Superyacht's already impressive use of glass.
That seems like a lot of new windows.
It's a lot of windows.
But does that just mean, because obviously she's got a kind of a greenhouse style thing at the back, are they just going to replace those panes, or are they...
I don't know, because, I mean, they can't be changing the actual design.
Yeah.
But you don't know.
But it's an extensive refit, so, yeah.
Who knows? They could be extending the aft deck.
Making a whole new glass greenhouse on the back.
But we will know that it will, that all we know is that it's going to be extensive. She will also receive technical enhancements, such as the installation of 3 new generators and with a complete exhaust gas treatment system. She was delivered in 2002 to a faceted militaristic design courtesy of Espernuino, and it highlights. Highlights include a clean, colourful interior by Marco Zanini, a gym, a library, and a spacious beach club and a dive store. She's best known for her bridge deck, which features 270-degree views for an unusual conservatory effect, as you were saying. She was most recently sold in 2021 at a last known asking price of €49.5 million, but an absolute icon in the industry. I don't think we're allowed to say that, but she is.
You are allowed to say that.
Really kind of cool, aggressive exterior, and it'll be really interesting to see what they change, if they change any aesthetics.
Cool. Right. Brilliant. So let's round off with a little bit of data.
Data.
So the data, as we were talking about the America's Cup, we wanted to talk about the yacht spotted in Barcelona since the first round robin. That's what you said you were going to watch. Yeah. So that's from August 29th, I believe.
Yeah.
Great. So since that time, we've seen 98 yachts in the area with a total LOA in metres of 4,193. Can you guess the average LOA, or is that putting you on the spot a little bit?
Ooh. Well, when I was there, it was a real... Well, we had a few... But a couple of obvious massive yachts there that were kind of owned by important people involved in the race. And so I would say average, I'd probably say 48.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Oh.
42.8.
Oh my God, that is right. I'm basically right.
You're out by like 6 meters.
Oh, average though, it's quite good.
Yeah. Right.
Vava 2's there at the moment.
Yeah, the largest yacht there is Vava 2. Obviously, her owner is linked to the America's Cup. And then you've also got the largest sailing yacht, which is the 44-metre Imagine D, also owned by someone linked to the America's Cup in the Team New Zealand area. There are 55 motor yachts, but actually a massive number of sailing yachts as well, which is great. Obviously, yeah. They're all kind of probably in the area for the regatta later and also just for the general interest of the America's Cup. So if there are 55 motor yachts, how many sailing yachts do you reckon there might be?
Oh, does that that probably includes the regatta that's going on at the moment. So I would say 36.
43.
Still getting stuck on those 40s, aren't I?
But
still pretty good.
Pretty good. And also it just shows how many yachts are actually there, because you've underestimated it. So how many sailing yachts are actually in the area.
And we're still in the early days as well.
Yeah, exactly. So in terms of the size segment, you've got 24 to 30 metres, there are 23 boats. 30 to 40 metres, there are 39 boats. 40 to 50 metres, there are 15 boats. 50 to 7 metres, there are 10. And 70 metres plus, there are 11. So pretty
very good, yeah.
Pretty sizable fleet.
It's very cool, actually. One thing that we did think that was amazing when we were there is to see sort of the yachts that we know against these insane racing machines. It's just like ultra modern versus classics and also massive super yachts. It's just an extraordinary thing to look at. And actually there was an amazing photo on the Ineos Britannia Instagram today that showed that, which is being shared all over the place with a really beautiful classic sailing yacht.
Yeah, indeed. And I think I just said that Vava 2 was the largest yacht there. Actually, the largest yacht there is the Lursen Opera, so 146 metres. But Vava 2 is the largest yacht there that's actually linked to someone in the America's Cup, like following the teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, really nice turnout there. Please do make sure you're following along with our coverage on the website. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening to Boat Briefing, which is mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and Adam Geist, and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you for a new episode very soon.
Thank you.